Yeah, let's start the party. Boo boo boo.
That's our new podcast intro. Forever.
I'm ready. I'm opening these tentacles.
Well, we've already started recording. I started recording right before you said, "Let's start the party."
Oh, God damn it.
Now I'm just going to edit that in at the beginning of every podcast. Like, that's replacing the little, like, there was that animation. I'm replacing the audio with that.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 80th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I am Ryan. Really wish I had a goddamn new 3DS to play Monster Hunter with Beldesi. With me, as always, we have Joe. Still hasn't played Monster Hunter 3 with Ryan yet, little. And
we'll get to it.
Tentacle, real name Terry Touchy. Everyone has nicknames now. That's how this podcast works.
I don't get anything Monster Hunter themed, even though I do play it myself.
Yeah. I already used hasn't played Monster Hunter 3 with Ryan yet on Joe, so you can't have that too.
We will definitely have to play eventually.
Yes, eventually. Yes. It's so good. I love that game. Someone said something really perfect the other day that actually it was Gaijin Hunter. He does tutorial videos on Monster Hunter. Like they're probably the best. And he managed. I was listening to the 8-4 Play podcast. I don't know if you know who that is. 8-4 Play is like a company that does localization in Japan, and they're all guys who've been in like the game industry for a while, and they're all from the West pretty much. But they localize Japanese games, and they're in somewhere in Japan. I wanted to say Tokyo, but I don't think they are. But he was on the 8-4 Play podcast, and he talked about how when he tried to get into Monster Hunter the first time, like, it didn't happen, but someone who was really into Monster Hunter at the time asked him what he thought of the game, and what he thought the game was, and he said, "Oh, it's an action game." And like the person's like, "No, Monster Hunter is not an action game. It's a hunting game." And I think that's a very fair statement, because it's not really an action game. Like, it's a very slow kind of methodical game.
Does that mean Mercenaries 1 is a hunting game too?
Sure.
That was a bad joke.
But I really regret not having a 3DS right now. I want one so bad.
Just get a new 3DS.
I wasn't gonna get like one of the old ones.
Don't forget to buy a charger.
Yeah.
Like $2, you can just buy a third party one.
Well, I just buy the first party one, but it doesn't really matter. There are some really good reasons as to why they don't have them, why you shouldn't be like too angry. One, North America is the only place that's had a DS packed in charger for like the last 5 years. Like, Europe hasn't had them for a while, not since like the launch of the 3DS.
Yeah, we're kind of used to it, and. Yeah,
and Japan hasn't had them since like the DS, since before the DSi. Like when a DSi released, they didn't get them anymore.
I still think it's cheap.
Well, in my mindset, saves $10 on
seeing
like,
as
that's what that's
people seeing as people who trade in their 3DS to get the new one, EB Games won't accept it unless you give them the charger.
Well, that's a dumb policy. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
so
like. It saves $10. That's what it is. That's the cost.
The console is probably the same price as it would have been if the charger was included.
Probably not.
Well, I was going to argue that the same charger you use for the, I think, is it the Game Boy Advance Lite? It's like the exact same one the DSi and the exact same one the 3DS uses. So my mindset is that Nintendo,
I don't think they're the exact same because the voltage is different. So I think you can't go too far back.
I think it may be from the DSi upwards, not too as far as Game Boy Advance then, but
yeah.
It's the exact same charger. So my mindset, of course, is Nintendo probably assumes you own at least one of those consoles still, and you probably still have the charger.
I think it's dumb.
And in places like
new Sonic TV, I bought a new one. Oh, great. The new TV doesn't come with a charger, or a power cable. The new TV doesn't come with a power cable, or my new Xbox One doesn't come with a power cable because it uses the same power cable as my Xbox 360. Like, that's just dumb.
I don't think that that's necessarily the same kind of complaint, because this is, one, this is a half step. It's not even, like, the whole new handheld. Two, it is, like, the cord is ubiquitous. Like, I don't own one, but that's because I haven't owned a DS, I haven't owned a DSi, I haven't owned a 3DS. But I'm probably going to get a new 3DS.
There's plenty of people like that.
There's not that many. I don't know anyone who hasn't...
As someone who works in a retail store, there are plenty of people who come in who don't have a 3DS. And when they saw the new 3DS, they were like, I'm going to consider getting that. And then we go, oh, it doesn't come with a charger. And they go, well, that's dumb.
It's only a North American thing. It really is. And to be honest, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
A year ago when I heard Europe and Japan didn't come with chargers, I still thought it was stupid.
In the chat for this podcast, I've linked a picture of the new Xenoblade 3DS, which is coming out in the future.
I need that. I also needed the Majora's Mask 3DS, but I didn't get that either.
So if you're considering a model, there you go.
I want the Monster Hunter one, but really? It's probably too late. I probably won't be able to get it.
You can pay $400 for it. Is that the regular size?
I wish
one?
I had any amount of money. No, it won't be. We're not going to get it. So.
Okay. I was just looking at it and it said LL next to it, and I was wondering what that meant. I don't know if... I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere that US wasn't getting that one.
We're not getting the small ones. We're never going to get anything except for the new 3DS XL.
Because of your fat American hands, says Japan.
I don't think they actually ever gave like an actual reason. Man, these aren't that bad for price. They're only $230.
Yeah, it's the Majora's Mask one. That's a ridiculous price.
I'm not keen on the color. I would have preferred a purple instead of gold, but opinions.
Yeah, well, it's like $450 for the Monster Hunter ones. $500 for the Monster Hunter ones.
Is your Nintendo store selling it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Terry, that the Minato one that you showed, it's a faceplate. From what I can see. Oh, no, that's a different one. Okay,
yeah,
maybe
we're
not
gonna get faceplates, too.
I know, that sucks.
The faceplates are quite the attraction for people. I know people who are just buying the smaller version because they want to have multiple faceplates. It's like, you don't even see them.
Well, to be honest, the faceplates are nicer than some of the skins.
Yeah.
Like, I would say the Majora's Mask faceplate is nicer than the Majora's Mask 3DS.
And it's not like you don't see them. It's like every time the system's closed. Like, I have my 3DS right here. If it had a cool-looking thing on it, it'd be cool while it was closed. Like my old Game Boy Advance, I had giant explosion stickers on it. It'd be cool if I could have like a metal, like plastic case to put on top of it instead of having to stick a sticker on it.
All right, well, let's get over our 3DS hate.
We always have.
Mine's not even hate. Mine is like jealousness. Like I am jealous. I want one so bad. I have no money though. I have to get my app to work.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, like if I have any money, it's going towards buying advertisements.
How is Space Laser doing?
We just broke 1,000 downloads.
Nice.
Which is actually that's like well in the top percent for apps. Like in their first month, most apps don't pull that off unless they have a marketing budget, and we don't have a marketing budget. So,
if
I had $8,000 though, I would just buy an ad on the Rooster Teeth podcast and fucking call it a day and make a bunch of money, but I don't have the $8,000.
Yeah.
So that's killing me right now. Is me going, that's not that much money considering like if you're a business, it's not that much money.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like that would get me in front of like this many people and make me this much money. And if I just had that much money, I could pay that back real easy if I take a loan, do like, and the app and like the ad pans out. If it doesn't pan out, I'm fucked because I don't have a source of income. So I'm like sitting here like, do I go to the bank and be like, you guys should give me a big loan, or do I?
Just think of it this way: you're doing better than all of the pregnant Elsa video games on the App Store.
Yeah, but there is a, oh man, you know what Elsa game is amazing?
What?
Frozen Brain Surgery, where you're like performing surgery on Elsa's brain, and there's like just weird like garbage in her head, like in her head, like literal garbage. It's pretty fantastic.
The App Store is weird. I'm glad that iTunes recently made the one-time purchase great games category.
Yeah, I might put some... I've got some stuff I'm working on that might be applicable to that. So, we'll see.
Make your Space Laser is.
It, while we have ads, and it's technically free.
So, yeah, okay, yeah, true.
So it doesn't actually fit in that category. But I've got some stuff that we're working on that might work out well. So let's actually get this podcast started. What video games have you guys been playing as of late? It's been like 2.5 weeks since we've done a podcast. So,
Who wants to start?
I'll go last because I have a lot of video games.
I do too.
Well, it seems I've got a least amount then. I've been playing a fair bit of XCOM Enemy Within still. I keep enjoying doing multiple runs of it. Currently, I have a YouTuber themed run going, and it's fun. Obviously, seeing friends and obviously other personalities in danger when aliens are flanking them.
And then they die horribly.
Yeah. There was a situation recently. I had Dastardly Duke, Ryan's Video Game Corner, VZ Shows, a few other people, and I put VZ. He's our team sniper, and he's got the Guardian Angel like armor, which allows him to fly, or whatever it's called. And he's just flying with squad sights as the sniper, just popping everything in the distance. And yet we still managed to get flanked and someone get injured. No, it's annoying. But aside from that, I've been playing Life is Strange, the new episodic game by Square.
I didn't. God, what is that game? Why can't I remember? I know that it came out.
It's the time-based, I guess you can call it hipster, life sim. Where, you know, it's got a girl who does photography, and she discovers the power she can reverse time, which will change the world around her. It features a lot of women getting hurt by men, which is somewhat funny. It's like, men are bad, which is what I've learned from episode one. Like, early on, a woman always gets sexually assaulted in the bathroom, and like the dad hits the daughter. It's like, yeah, this is really sending positive vibes for the future episodes. I've only played the first episode. Episode two, I believe, is out at the moment, but we'll see how things go from there.
Sweet. Is that everything?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I've been experimenting with some new software for videos for the future, so I've not really had the opportunity to invest as much time in gaming as I like.
Nice. What software have you been playing with?
A bit of Adobe After Effects and Illustrator.
After Effects is always fun. Complicated, but fun. I guess I can go next. Well, since I've had 2 weeks off, I was sick for a while. I've been playing a ton of games. I missed the last podcast, so I didn't get to talk about this, but I had been playing the Talos Principle, and I beat that game 100%, gotten all three endings, and then after that I spent 4 days having a mental breakdown because that game is it messes with you. The game has this like huge concept of like life after death and all this other stuff based around death, and there's a couple like there's like memo fragments and all this stuff that you can pick up and read throughout the game, and there's a couple of them that I just read, and it just not something I can deal with. I was talking to a YouTuber named Adam Nader about it, and we were having a good conversation about it, because that game can mess with you. Like, I spent 4 days just like huddled up in my bed because of it. Besides that, I've been playing a lot of Steam games. Hammerwatch, Full Mojo Rampage. I tried a game called For the Awesome. Basically like a jump down and you dive and you constantly fall. And
yeah, I have that in my Steam library.
It was kind of cool. I was enjoying it. I also I started playing Spiral Knights and the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot randomly just for fun. Two free-to-play games that I enjoy specifically. Spiral Knights I was really into when it first came out, and it had this dumb energy system. They finally took that out a while ago, so I've been playing it again. And yeah, that energy system, they got rid of it like very quickly. So it doesn't exist anymore. It hasn't existed for like almost a year now, I think. So the game is actually really enjoyable now. It's like a kind of dungeon crawler, Zelda-esque MMO. It's really good. I enjoy it. I've been playing the Monster Hunter 3.
All right, I have a quick question. Can you go back to the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot? Did they make that game any good?
I don't know. Not really.
No.
No.
Because I played it like a year ago, and I was like, this is not fun.
It's about the same. I play it because I like dungeon crawlers, and it's a nice free-to-play dungeon crawler.
I like dungeon crawlers, and I like the idea of that game. I just feel like its execution is kind of bad.
Yeah. Whenever I pick it up, I only play it for about an hour, and then I drop it. And then while I was sick, I also I was like, I'm going to beat a bunch of 3DS games. I only ended up beating one. I beat finally beat Phoenix Wright versus Professor Layton. It was okay. The ending was completely weird, but it was okay. And I also put a bunch of time into Etrian Odyssey 4, which is an RPG I very much enjoy, which doesn't come along often. And I also found myself putting a lot of time into Rogue Galaxy recently. Besides that, it's been a lot of Pikmin, Mario Party, and Smash Bros. With my girlfriend. Other than that, that's about it.
So, I got back to Guild Wars 2 this week. Actually, you know what? Let's jump even further back. I got back to Sim City. Like, the one that everyone hated, the new one.
Yep, Sim City 4.
Yeah, it's pretty playable.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it's gotten a lot better since.
Yeah, so they fixed the online stuff, and you can play single player now, too, like, offline. And it works pretty well. You can speed up to cheetah speed finally, which makes that game like playable. The game's just kind of easy is the issue, and the plots are still like kind of, some of the plots are bigger than they used to be, which is nice, but they're still kind of small, and the controls aren't great. They're like middle. They're kind of okay. They're not awful, but they're like not fantastic. But what I did see that was coming out soon is a game by Paradox Interactive called Cities Skyline, and the things I've heard about that game are very promising, because like the good parts of SimCity 4 with the good parts of Cities XL.
Is it going to be like that Kickstarter non-starter video where that guy was going to make a SimCity-like game?
No, it's not like that, because Paradox Interactive is like a pretty big publisher at this point, and
yeah,
they like made a city builder that looks pretty great. It kind of looks a little bit like SimCity graphically, but its mechanics have been compared to Cities XL, except for like smoothed out appropriately, like the SimCity polish. if you don't know Cities XL, like, Cities XL is a game that should be good, but has never, like, in its sequels, has never been built on top of in the way that it should have been. There's Cities XL, Cities XL, like, 2012, Cities XL Platinum, and now there's Cities XXL, and they're all, like, the exact same game. Like, they're identical. The only thing that's really ever happened is, like, bug fixes. Like, Cities XL has a memory leak in it, but Cities XXL doesn't have a memory leak in it. Like, there are these basic technology updates, but, like, the same maps, the same buildings, everything's the same, which is really garbage, obviously, as a sequel.
Yeah.
But Cities Skyline, which is not related to Cities XL, looks, like, pretty solid. It sounds good. It comes out, I think, in, like, a week or two. Maybe it already... When does it come out? Yeah, I think it's, like, in a week or two. But I started playing SimCity because I'm looking forward to City Skyline, and I, like, really wanted to play a city builder. And if I had to choose between SimCity and Cities XL, I have to choose SimCity because at least it, like, runs. Unlike the other one. Besides that, I also played Sunless Sea, which is, like, a procedurally generated roguelite. Like, it's not a roguelike, but the game kind of modifies itself every time you play it a little bit. You play the captain of a ship in like, this Lovecraftian world. And of, like, you captain a ship on the undersea, and the undersea is this sea, like, underground.
What was it called again?
Sunless Sea.
Okay. I think I've was sawing Lethal Frag streaming it a while ago.
What I need to bring up is it's based on a... God, what is it based on? It's based on a...
Yeah, this game looked really cool when I was watching it.
It's based on a tabletop, or on a pen and paper. And I need to know... Fallen London. That's it. Fallen London. So Fallen London is like this universe... it's Victorian Gothic. It's kind of steampunky. It's really cool. It's Lovecraftian, like, all the creatures and stuff. Like, you go out there, you fight giant crabs and, like, these monster sharks and shit. And, like, there's rat people. And the game just... because the game is based on Fallen London, which just has so much background story, the game has this huge world to work with.
Fallen London.
Yeah.
I was looking up Fall in London. And no. I was like, I'm getting basketball pictures and pictures of Fall in London.
Fall in London.
Fall in
is London. So that's, like, Fall in London is the world that this game is based in. And as a result, the game just has, like, this huge world with, like a lot of story depth that other games don't have, especially games of, like, this budget, right? And so that really, like, helped them build out and, like, populate this really thriving world. Like, the world feels alive, and it's just because the writing is so fantastic, and a huge portion of the writing is a result of being based on Fallen London rather than, like, their actual... Like, I'm sure the writers are very excellent because the dialogue and stuff is really good, like the flavor script, but I don't think it would be as good if they didn't have, like, the already built-up world to work with. But it's fantastic. That game is totally worth taking a look at. The only thing that, like, it kind of sucks is that your ship is kind of slow until, like, a few hours in. So, like, the game is, like, a very slow-burning game that's not that challenging if you, like, don't take these crazy risks. But, that game was really fun. I played Darkest Dungeon.
How are you enjoying that?
I really like it.
Seems to be a stream favorite right now.
Everyone's it's really fun. God, who is... So, Klee Entertainment... They're not the developers, but they're helping with that game, and like they're one of my favorite developers. Like they're one of my favorite studios. Actually, they're just in Vancouver, so they're like a couple hours away. But they're offering like art assistance and like technical assistance on that game, and it's pretty like they're pretty fantastic. So anything that they're involved with, like, turns out well. They did Mark of the Ninja, they did Don't Starve, they did Shank and Shank 2.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're doing Invisible Ink, which is going to come out, I think, this year? Or is it already out? Doesn't... Oops. Well... I just played some sound that I didn't want to. But yeah, I've been playing Darkest Dungeon. That was a Kickstarter. That game's super fun. They update that all the time, like every day, sometimes four times a day. But I like the sanity system. They've appropriately scaled that. It was like fucking insane before because it was impossible to like not go crazy. Especially at the beginning because you just didn't have enough party members, so people would just go like batshit crazy and like you wouldn't be able to help like recover their sanity and like get them to not be stressed. So they've appropriately balanced that to make it not so like to make the stress gain a lot lower. The combat is pretty solid because it's about like you want to have skills to like manage the order of your enemies so that the guys who normally use melee attacks are stuck in the back so they can't attack, and the guys who normally use ranged attacks are stuck in the front so that they can't attack, which makes them waste turns on moving rather than attacking, so then you take less damage. But you obviously like need a healer, and you need people who can tank and everything else. But that game's totally worth taking a look at. It's not content complete, but it is very much like it's mechanically robust enough to be fun to play. Which means, like, as an early access game, it's actually fun. There's not a lot of those. Like, fun early access games are, like, Darkest Dungeon, Prison Architect. That's about it. I don't know if any of the rest of them are, like, mechanically robust enough to be fun games. Like, this is just, it knows what it wants to do already. It has some balancing issues, but they're not so egregious that the game is unplayable.
Sounds like a large selection of games to enjoy in such a short space of time.
Well, it's been like 2 or 3 weeks since we did a podcast. Besides that, I also played Guild Wars 2. That's something I started playing a lot of on the weekend. I want to level cap a character because the expansion comes out this year. I've never bothered to level cap a character in that game because my first character, the one that I got like the furthest along with, I pretty much chose like the wrong class. I chose Engineer, and if you know anything about the Engineer in that game, at launch he was fucking garbage. He was pretty okay to start leveling with, but by the time that you got to the point where you needed to do dungeons, no one wanted Engineer to come in their group because Engineers were so bad. Like, the class was just gibbled. So even if you knew how to play the game, which I definitely did, I played a lot of Guild Wars 1. Like, I was not a bad player. My class was just so garbage. So, yeah, I started playing a new character this weekend, and I want to get ready for the expansion, because that game is, like, it's fun, and they release story content, like, every week. So there's always a new thing to do in Guild Wars 2, which is not the case with a lot of MMOs that started up in, like, the last couple of years. Like, WildStar, like, there's so few guilds in WildStar right now. I think only 23 guilds have attempted the raid.
Man, that game is, like, dead.
Yeah.
It sucks, because it had potential to be an amazing game.
Well, the problem with that game is that they listened to people. I know that sounds so funny. Like, what are you talking about? How is that a bad thing? But they listened to an audience of, like, old vanilla WoW players being like, we want a really hardcore like MMO, just like WoW and EverQuest were. Like, WoW wasn't even hardcore, but people wanted like a vanilla WoW raiding experience, or like EverQuest style raiding experience that was like tough and required you to have 40 people. And they did that, and it turns out no one wanted that because it's a huge pain in the ass. Like,
and
the
people who are definitely not what that game should have went for. The art style and gameplay for that game was totally casual. Like, I totally would have gotten into that game. Like, it was so fun. The story, the way that the mechanics worked, how the bosses were, like, actually, like, wasn't like World of Warcraft. It's like, walk up, hit the guy, and then he swings his sword at the air, and it does damage to you. It was like, he shoots pillars of fire out of the fucking ground, and
that's Warcraft.
Giant meteors. I don't ever
that's that Warcraft.
Warcraft. When I watch Warcraft,
that's because
Warcraft
you've never
raids,
played any of the raids.
When I watch the raids on stream, all I see is like, there's a boss in the middle of the room, and he never moves, and he swings his axe at the air, and it hits like all 40 guys in the room at once randomly.
No, that's not Warcraft raids at all. As someone who's done all of the raids, that's not how those work.
I've never seen a raid that looked anything like even the first boss from WildStar did.
Oh, the first boss from WildStar was just Ragnarok.
Ragnaros. I don't know if it was the first boss, but it was like the big lava guy in the lava room, and he shot the fire up, and he had
he's just Ragnaros. Which is the final boss in Molten Core, which was the first WoW raid. But like I looked at WildStar and I was like, this is something I would play if I had the fucking 40 hours a week that I used to have to put into WoW.
People like, want that game to go free to play, and there's a ton of streamers who are like, if this game goes free to play, we'd start playing it again and stream the shit out of it. But no one wants to pay the $60 a month for it because it's just 15. Not worth it at the time, because it's 15 now.
$15 a month. It was never $60 a month.
Wasn't it $60 like for the game plus the free month that came with it or whatever?
Yeah, and then $15 a month after.
Okay.
For the subscription. $60 a month. That is brazen, because not even WoW charged that much when it came out, and WoW's down to like 12. Actually, WoW has a really healthy subscription base right now. They have like a solid 10 million, which is a lot better than it was after Wrath of the Lich King and Pandaria. Like, Warlords of Draenor have been out for a while now, and the sub numbers are not slipping in the way that they used to, or at least that they have previously. So that's good for them. But
I'm surprised World of Warcraft has been around for so long.
A decade.
It's such an old game, and yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Well, it's because it has content, and it's all good content. Like, there's very little bad content in there. And the new expansion, WildStar was fucked. There was no way that game was ever going to take off, because the new expansion, Warlords of Draenor, they have a decade of content and experience in building raids, and they have four raid levels now. There's four difficulties for raids. There's a super easy difficulty, which is good for like super casual people who just don't have the time to put in like the 20 hours a week that you need to raid.
Yeah.
And they can do that and do it once and like experience everything in the raid and like easily clear it though. But they don't really get rewarded for it. And then there's one difficulty up, which is like a little bit harder, but you don't really have to put much time into it, and you start getting epics. And there's a medium difficulty, and then there's a hard difficulty. And like, the people who really want to put in that like 30 hours a week and like perfect a raid and like play WildStar difficulty fucking raids, that is in WoW again. So like, there's no reason to play WildStar, because you've already invested like huge amounts of money and time into WoW, and there's a hard version of it again. Like,
yeah, like I can't get into WoW just because of the playstyle. It bores me so easily. WildStar really intrigued me because of how the playstyle for it worked with like selecting where your attack goes, and I don't know how to explain the attack system in that game, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw that all up to just never playing like the raids.
Well, no, I mean like just the basic attack form. Like, I mean, like in World of Warcraft, you have your abilities, you hit them, and then they activate on the enemy that you're attacking. But in
there's like aimable abilities in WoW that you have to place down on the ground.
I've never seen them. But like WildStar, pretty much every attack was like that. It was like aim in this direction, or this one's an area of effect one, and all that kind of stuff. And then it shows up on the ground where it's going to hit and all that. There's dodging and rolling, but I know that's in WoW too.
I don't think dodging and rolling is in WoW. It's in Guild Wars though.
Don't they have rolling in WoW?
They did that for monks, but they didn't do it for anyone else. Monks were the class introduced in Pandaria. But yeah, I've been playing Guild Wars 2 because I just want to like get back into that game. It has like a gorgeous world. You don't pay a sub. Like I bought the game already, so I just play it whenever I want. So, but that game's fun. It's worth playing.
I recently downloaded Marvel Heroes 2015. I want to see what it's like. I heard it's good. I heard it's okay.
Yes, I heard Marvel's Heroes 2015 is good. I heard Marvel Heroes, which is just... Like, they changed the name of that game to get a new Metacritic score because the original version that launched was so bad.
Yeah, that's what I also heard. I heard my friend play the original version. He was like, this is crap. And then I was looking up reviews for, like, 2015, and it was, like, really good scores. It was, like, top 5 free-to-play MMOs of 2014 or whatever.
Yeah. Like, the original version of that game was just bad.
Up too bad. See what I did there? Yeah, I'm hoping it's good. I accidentally put in the wrong email address, so now I have to send a support ticket to get the email address changed.
Fun.
Yeah, so... But once all that's settled, I'm gonna try it out, see what it's like, and then... I don't know. Play it, I guess.
Play it.
Who plays
their video games?
Only losers.
Pretty much. I
love Marvel, so I'm hoping it's good. I'm hoping I'll enjoy it.
All right, let's jump into some news. There's things that I've been wanting to talk about for like a couple of weeks now, so...
Yeah, news.
This seems like an opportunity. So, I guess we'll hold that one off to the end. So, let's talk... Bethesda is going to be at E3 this year. They're doing a Sunday night conference, which I don't think has been done in a while. I can't remember.
Half-Life reconfirmed.
Oh no, that's GDC. You wait. Well, it's not GDC. Okay, you want to know how Half-Life 3 is going to come out? No, it's going to come out eventually.
It'll just pop up on the Steam front page.
That's exactly what it's going to be. They're not going to say anything. It's just going to be out. And... Yeah, like...
Everyone's going to freak out about it. It's going to be funny.
Okay, now we're just going to talk about Valve and GDC instead. We'll talk about Bethesda after. But
Bethesda.
Valve is going to be at GDC, and they announced a bunch of stuff as a result of that. They have 185 million active users on Steam.
Whatever happened to the Steam box?
They're going to bring that to GDC.
Okay, good, because I was really hoping that they didn't just kill that, because I thought it was a really cool idea.
Yeah, they're going to bring, like, Valve, like,
what were they called?
Branded ones. Rather than, like, this is the Alienware Steam box, and this is the so-and-so Steam box. Like, they're bringing Valve ones.
Is that the name of it, the Steam box?
Yes.
Okay.
But they're going to bring the Steam box to GDC. Where'd Terry go?
I'm still here. I'm listening. It's just you guys talking so much, I ain't got a time to actually cut in. And of course, I don't play MMOs, so I can't really add anything to that previous discussion.
Fair enough. But yeah, they're going to bring the Steam box to GDC. They're going to bring the Steam controller, like the final version that is going to be released to consumers this year.
I heard from people who reviewed that controller is actually pretty sweet.
I like the demo that they showed, because it showed like a guy playing Civ, and you can't play Civ with joysticks.
I applied to get one, and I never got one, and I'm not surprised, but I would have loved to get one.
Yeah, they only sent out like 3,000 of them.
I know. I would have loved to get one and get my hands on one.
But, they created a controller that basically lets you play, like, not, like, I wouldn't want to play Counter-Strike with it, but I would play, like, I would play Civ with it. I would play, like, the Banner Saga with it. I would play, like, slower games, turn-based games.
Yeah, kind of, like, casual stuff with it.
Well, not necessarily casual, but slower. Like, I wouldn't describe the Banner Saga or Civ as casual games.
Well, they're just not fast. In, like, non-competitive, I guess, is a better term. Like,
well, those are competitive, like,
Counter-Strike,
too.
Counter-Strike.
I would say, like, Civ is pretty competitive.
StarCraft. Stuff like that.
But, yeah. Like, I wouldn't play StarCraft. I wouldn't play fast games, basically. They're going to bring Steam VR, which is their virtual reality headset, to GDC. Which, I mean, people were kind of assuming was dead because, like, a lot of key, like, hardware people at Valve kind of, like, left in the last year or something. Like, in the last year to 2 years, and some of them even ended up at Oculus. So it's interesting to hear that they're actually, like, going to bring Steam VR, which is something that they kind of hinted that they were doing but have never actually officially confirmed, so that's interesting to see coming to GDC. I guess Joe just has left.
He just couldn't take the information about the Steam Box, got too excited and left.
Yeah, he went to go to GDC to go buy one.
Yeah, it's a long travel from Canada, so he's taking an early start.
Yeah, it's a long walk to San Francisco.
So Fallout is what I'm hoping to see at E3, since we mentioned the Bethesda in advance.
Yeah, I mean, Bethesda doing E3, there's more than one thing that's being announced. I think that's obvious. If it was only one thing, then they would not do... Oh, no. Sorry, there's more GDC things. Microsoft is bringing stuff to GDC. I think they were doing gaming stuff at GDC, which I will be interested in.
Likely showing off the combination of Microsoft 10 with, Windows 10 with the PC and, of course, the Xbox and tablet, you know, the
I
whole
really
combination.
Like Windows 10. I really like it.
Yeah, the overlay will be coming to the Xbox One soon. I'm in the open beta, so I get to see all the fancy stuff in advance, and often I'm on the forum saying, I don't like these changes. And everyone else is like going, oh, it's really cool. It's like, no, I don't like these changes. You're making the overlay too complicated now.
To be fair, the current one is bad.
Yes. And it's going to get worse.
Like the one that shipped on that console is bad. The fact that, like, you go to messages and it does not open messages, it, like, launches a game and then opens messages in the side.
Yeah, the snap feature they've implemented since launch.
Well, the fact that there's not an app version of messages and there's only the snap version, so when you go to messages, it just fucking opens a game and then, like, whatever game you were playing last so that it can snap messages on. Who thought that was okay?
You've also got snap parties, which doesn't make sense. I don't need to see your gamer tag when I'm talking to you. You've also got snap achievements, which I guess makes sense if you're going for an achievement like Hunter sort of video, but
achievements really. Are like only snap too, aren't they?
No, you can't unsnap them, but you have to it's really complicated where you have to, like, hold down the Xbox button, make sure it doesn't turn off your controller, and just a whole bunch of other nonsense.
No, I mean, like, if you go to achievements, like, from the dashboard, you're not in a game, it doesn't have, like, a not-snap version of achievements.
It does. But, again, it's very complicated to do, because you have to hold down the Xbox button, but it sometimes turns your controller off, so you have to push it just so far enough that you can turn snap off to view the achievements without snap being on. It's very stupid, but that's Microsoft for you. 2 steps forward, 3 steps back.
Yeah, the batteries that I have don't last long enough in the Xbox One controller, so I just leave it plugged in. So I can't turn off my controller.
I believe Joe's
what are we talking about? I missed that because I got pulled away to do something.
It's all right. Talking about Xbox One controllers, I was biding my time until you came back to talk about Bethesda.
Okay. You're talking about that the Snap thing that the Xbox dashboard has?
Yeah.
I feel like that dashboard was designed for the Kinect, and it works like a piece of crap without it.
Yeah, pretty much. Bethesda at E3. So they're clearly announcing like more than one thing.
Yes, there's got to be like some big Fallout announcement, some big Skyrim announcement.
No, there would never be a Fallout and a Skyrim announcement at the same time. It's Why? The same studio.
Oh, it's the exact same studio? Okay.
Yeah.
They want the hype focused on one pure game. Okay.
So,
well, I'm assuming a Fallout announcement. I want to hope for a Fallout announcement. And I want
to
hope for
I'm
a
not
new
happy it's going to be a Fallout announcement. I know it is. I'm not happy about it.
I'm also hoping for a new IP announcement.
Well, what you're going to see is you're going to probably see Arkane, the guys who did Dishonored. Yeah. They were talking about the Bethesda E3 thing. Like, they were pointing to it like, hey, guys, you should look at this Bethesda E3 thing. Because Arkane is, like, Bethesda is their publisher. And so we will probably see what Arkane is working on, like, right now at E3. I'm assuming it's a Dishonored 2 because the Dishonored world was like built up to be pretty big, and if you like know anything about the lore of that game, there's like five big cities that they didn't talk about because you only play in the one city, but they talk about the other four. So,
Well, that'd be cool. Why are you gonna be upset if there's a Fallout announcement?
I don't like the Bethesda Fallout games, the new ones. I don't like Fallout 3. Well, I don't like Fallout 3. New Vegas is by Obsidian, right? And I think was a lot better than Fallout 3.
I never gave Fallout 3 a chance. Just because the intro was so boring. I got through
the
intro.
The whole game is boring.
I got through the intro and I don't know about that. I got through the intro, and by the time I finished the intro, I was like, I don't really want to play anymore, and then I gave the game back to my friend. But when I was playing it on my friend's account, and he was already far into the game, and I was just running around doing like small like side missions on his profile, it seemed like a really fun game. It was just like that intro really drained me out of it. But I'm excited to try New Vegas. I wanted to play Fallout 3 before I played Vegas, but I'm considering just downloading Vegas and playing that, and that's it.
They're not related.
No, so not really. Okay.
No, like, they're not related at all.
Okay.
New Vegas is actually, it's a significantly better game. Fallout 3 has, like, a really bland world. The ending is super unsatisfying.
Do you think Fallout New Vegas is like, is it a standalone game? Is it as long as Fallout 3, or is
it's
a short thing?
It's just as long. Like, it's a standalone, like, it's a full game.
Okay.
Sweet. It's just not Fallout 4 because it's not made by Bethesda. It's made by Obsidian.
Yeah. I paid like $3 for it and I haven't played it yet.
All right. Well, that one was good, but I think Fallout 3 was a bad game. I really didn't like it. And so I'm not happy that, like, it's obvious that the announcement is going to be Fallout 4 because they've had more time, like, they just did Skyrim. Well, they didn't just do Skyrim. It's been several years. It's been a while, actually. But
who knows? Maybe this next one they'll take it, like, maybe they'll co-design with Obsidian, or they'll take ideas from what Obsidian did to make the next Fallout 4 even better.
Well, Fallout New Vegas is good because it just had better writing.
Yeah. Like, who made Fallout 1 and 2?
God, why can't I remember? They're like hugely different games. I like Fallout 1 and 2.
Yeah, I know. They're like top down, like old school fucking PC games. I know that for sure. Like, I was watching
Black
a stream
Isle,
of Fallout.
That's who made them.
Okay. I was watching
Black like Isle did like Baldur's Gate, Planescape, Icewind Dale. So the guys who were did Fallout 1 and 2, they're doing like some of the Black Isle guys, I think, are at Obsidian, and Obsidian is doing what is that game that Obsidian's doing? I even Project Eternity, which has an actual name now.
Let's see.
Because Pillars of Eternity, that's what it is. Pillars of Eternity, and that's Obsidian's game. It's supposed to come out in March,
There's also Armored Warfare. Their first MMO. That sounds interesting.
Obsidian is doing like a lot of games right now. So
yeah. Oh, they did Stick of Truth. That's another game that I just recently beat. That game is amazing.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
It got me back into South Park, and I've been watching the TV series because of it.
But I think that Obsidian's like made the better of the modern Fallouts.
Oh yeah. Sure.
I mean, I would rather see another Elder Scrolls game, and I didn't even really like Skyrim that much.
Actually, ignoring the MMO, which is now free.
It's not free. It's the same model as Guild Wars 2. You buy it, you don't pay a sub.
From what I've heard, I don't know if they've updated it since, but from what I've heard, that game was horrible on launch.
It's still coming to the next-gen consoles, well, current-gen, if you want to put it that now.
That's what they keep saying, but they keep postponing it, so...
It's probably hard.
Yeah, probably. What was it? I was at work today, and I saw that Kirby came out, and I really want to buy it. I really want the new Kirby game.
I've heard not good things about it. It's something you could probably hold off on.
It's immensely short. Like, we're talking, you could finish it in an afternoon. I saw a guy stream it, he beat it within about 4 hours unintentionally.
Yeah, but you can do that with like almost any Kirby game. The issues with this one is that like it's a gorgeous art style, but if you're playing it by yourself, you pretty much have to look at the screen, so like you're looking at a low res screen because you control it with the stylus, right?
Yeah.
And like I heard the controls aren't that great. I heard that like it's just okay, which is not really, and this is like from people who really like Kirby games. Dan Reichert over on Giant Bomb, he loves Kirby games, and he reviewed that game, and he was talking about it on the Giant Bomb cast this week, that it's like just okay, like it's disappointing, and that like maybe for $40 it might be too much.
Yeah.
And that's a dude who like loved Triple Deluxe and like loved Canvas Curse and like all these other games, and this one is just okay. But
going back to Bethesda, I know what all the fans are excited to see at E3, and that's Brink 2.
Prey 2.
Brink 2.
We'll certainly not be there. I think they officially cancelled that last year.
Let's see. They might show off Doom, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, that's obviously going to happen. Doom is going to be there because they showed that last year at IdFest or IdCon or whatever. But none of the stuff, surprisingly, about Doom that they showed actually went out, like, even though it was like a public event. So we'll definitely see Doom. Like, the things that we'll see are, like, Doom, Fallout 4 will probably be how they close it. Okay, how does this go?
I think they'll be
they're
gonna,
as well. Here's basically how it goes. They go up, they show Doom. Then Arcane shows off whatever they're working on. Probably Dishonored 2. I hope it's Dishonored 2. Then some corporate guy comes up and talks about the Elder Scrolls Online. Then Fallout 4. And then that's the end. That's the conference.
You need some filler, I imagine.
We paid $5 million for 4 announcements.
Yeah.
Look at
fucking what. How many things do you think Microsoft or Sony are going to announce?
EA.
Went up last year and talked about like 3 things. They did like the same thing. They showed off Battlefront, and then they showed off they showed off like 5 sports games, but all of them were just EA sports, like whatever. And then they did Battlefield Hardline.
Not all those were 1-minute trailers, but
I want to see
Oh God,
I think
I'll
they'll be
be.
for between like your announcements. I actually think they're just gonna say, "Hey, if you want to check out Dishonored 2, there's a next gen Dishonored with all the DLC coming out to Xbox One and PS4."
Yeah, but that
Because
all fills in with like corporate man talking about the Elder Scrolls Online.
yeah, I imagine there'll be Dishonored for like Ultimate Edition port and perhaps I wouldn't say
Well, maybe
Skyrim
not,
or
because that game
Fallout.
is like it's old enough that you don't. It didn't fall within that weird like. So Dishonored, I don't think was a popular enough game. Like it's not like GTA 5 popular where you can just release it again and expect to like sell a good number. But also, I think it came. I don't think it came late enough in the generation to be one of those ones that like falls strangely in this world where like people want to play that again and
Well,
like see
I
what
mean
it looks like as like.
you're getting Payday 2 Ultimate Edition and Borderlands 2 Ultimate Edition. They could
Yeah,
risk
but
the biscuit and pull it for a cheaper price like they did Square did with Sleeping Dogs and Tomb Raider.
I think that in the case of Payday, that Payday is has enough DLC that the Ultimate Edition just packages in the DLC, and
Jacket's in it now.
yeah, he is, but like that's what is in there. Like you're not gonna see a huge graphical upgrade, and then in the case of Borderlands, there's a lot of DLC in that too, so like you're getting that in there.
This
Also, I think
one
that in
does
the
have patch
case of Borderlands
challenges.
2, it's a huge, like a much more popular game, and that the amount of money that you have to put into Payday 2 versus Dishonored to do a next gen port is significantly lower in the case of Payday 2 because it's a like a much smaller game.
Okay.
So like
I can
I
see
just
that.
don't think it would happen with Dishonored. I don't think it was popular enough. I don't think that it's necessarily warranted.
I'm
Also, you have
curious
to
to
remember
see
the
what
age
that's
of
like.
Dishonored at this point, because Dishonored's a couple years.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Eurogamer is pulling review scores from their site, and Polygon has also modified review scores on their site. And it seems like game reviewers in general right now are kind of like restructuring how they want to review. So in the case of Eurogamer, they got rid of review scores like altogether, and in the case of Polygon, they're doing what they call like a provisional review, which has like a giant banner on it when you look at it that says, "This is what we think about this game pre-release, but on Monday when it goes public and the online servers go on, everything could go to shit, and it might be a two." Like they did with Evolve. They're like, "Evolve is an 8, but this is a provisional review, and when the servers go live, if they die, it's not anything."
Yeah, Eurogamer tend to do this. They have, I think, four like written articles about Evolve and their experience over time, and it just progressively became a worse experience as soon as the online came about and more DLC was shoved into their face.
Yeah, that is a Evolve is a game that I would have bought if it weren't for like the 30 versions of that game and all of the DLC.
And that's
Yeah,
only the launch
that's.
DLC. We still have more to come.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was like talking to a friend because in Australia, of course, their prices are much higher, and there's something like $80 for just the base game. It's like that's insulting, and that's not with like any of the alternative versions, like the Monster Edition or the Berserker Edition or whatever the hell they're called.
But yeah, the thing that I actually wanted to highlight was the review scores thing.
Yes.
Like the provisional reviews seem to be becoming more ubiquitous, I guess. That way people aren't submitting like Metacritic scores before like we know whether or not the game even works. Like in the case of Master Chief Collection, like there's something that is apparently fixed with the next patch. Like it's in they said that they were foregoing beta, but there apparently seems to be a small closed beta, according to rumors, that has like fixed the online matchmaking in that game. But I mean, it's been 3 months and that shit still doesn't work very well. And then like in the case of Drive Club, where Drive Club just didn't work, or Assassin's Creed Unity, which also just didn't work. But in that case, I think that a lot of reviewers saw that before. Like, it wasn't because of online services. SimCity 4, there's a game that didn't work because of online. But I like the idea of the provisional reviews. And then also you have other people like Kotaku doesn't even use, they use like a buy, don't buy scale. Like it's a 2-point scale. You have a zero or you have a one. Like it's a binary system, which I think is pretty reasonable for a review. Like, yeah, this game is actually worth playing. Actually, it's not even a buy, don't buy. I think it's a play, don't play system. Like, this is worth playing, this is not worth playing.
Yeah, I was enjoying the Order 1880, whatever it's called, score.
Man, that is a... I played that game, I forgot to talk about that. That is a game that is a mess. That is... Okay, it's not a mess. It is super limited, well polished, but man, boring. How do I talk about this game? There's like
I'd rather watch Boyhood. Oh, it's a movie quote.
The Order 1886 is like really dissatisfying because they have basically one cool gun, and that's the thermite gun. And like when they introduce you to that, like, so at E3 demos and shit, people were playing with the thermite gun, and that was the thing in the demo. And people were like, "Damn, this is like some Ratchet and Clank ass gun shit! Like you sprayed dust all over these people, and you shot flares at them, and it like lit them on fire because of the thermite. That is cool. That is cool stuff." And like the game world seems really neat, but none of it is realized. Like, the thermite gun is the only interesting gun, and the other five guns in the game are boring as shit. And you only use the thermite gun like twice in the game. And then there's like a whole lot of like walking and talking in that game where you're just walking and talking. Or there's even sections where you're just walking because it's like you need to go from here to here, but we won't let you run because that would ruin our cinematic experience. So you're going to walk there. And so then your character's just walking like literally down a hallway. And this is like, yep. Just going to walk.
I saw the $30 guide. Someone was taking pictures of the $30 guide inside, like, how to beat the game. And basically, it's just screenshots with X and squares. Like, push X here, push square there. It's like,
there's a system in that game. You can, like, pick up almost anything in the game world and, like, look at it, like, rotate it around and, like, flip it over and stuff. And when you pick up, like, pictures, there's a button prompt and it's like, press X to flip over. And you can flip over the picture. And, like, you'd think maybe there'd be, like, something written on the back or something every once in a while to, like, solve a puzzle or explain some lore. Literally every picture in the game that I flipped over, the back is just blank.
This is just Shenmue. This is a modern-day Shenmue, but it's with Shenmue. That was the first of its kind.
Yeah, like this is bullshit. And there's some objects that you pick up, you can't put them down right away. So, like, if you accidentally pick up an object, you just have to, like, roll it around in your hand for a while until it says that you can put it down.
You know what game did that? L.A. Noire.
Yeah, but L.A. Noire, it had, like, a gameplay-specific reason for it. Like, yeah, you needed it to solve crime.
What does that have to do with Order?
But in the Order, it doesn't do anything, like, at all. Like, you can just pick up an apple and fucking just look at it. Like, that's what you do in that game. You pick things up and just look at them, and they have no gameplay effect. Like, they don't tell you anything about the lore. Like, nothing. Nothing at all. Doesn't do anything. You just pick it up and roll it around. How does that make any sense? And then there's two boss fights in that game. They're literally identical. There's a boss fight at, like, the end of Chapter 4 or something where you fight a werewolf. And then the final boss where you fight a different werewolf but do the exact same QTE. Like, identical QTE. That is the boss fight.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of that online, like frame for frame, the animations and everything.
Yeah, it's bizarre. The game is dumb. It's so bad. Like, in a case like Gears of War and stuff, like Gears of War has enough there, I guess, like mode wise, like it has a pretty okay campaign that is made better by co-op, and then it has a pretty good online system. But the Order 1886, they're like, they just have a campaign, no co-op, no online. And in the case of, like, let's say Call of Duty or Battlefield or Gears of War or Halo or really any of these other, like, shooters, like modern shooters, in the case of those, they build themselves up by adding like some other gameplay modes, because I don't think that in the case of like the Order, they're like, you will want to pay $60 for this to play on our thrill ride. Like, our thrill ride is better than everyone else's thrill ride, and it's worth $60. But Call of Duty, Battlefield, Halo, and everyone else knows that, no, their campaigns are not worth $60. Like, Joe, you're really into Halo, right? Like, you love Halo, to my knowledge. Yes. If Halo didn't have online or co-op, is Halo worth $60?
No.
Yeah, exactly. And yet this is a game where they bet that their campaign was so good it's worth $60. Like, last week people were freaking out because the game only had a 6-hour campaign. Thank God it only has a 6-hour campaign, because if it was 20 hours, I'd kill myself. It's so fucking boring.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens when someone learns to speedrun that game and just breaks down the essence. Like, obviously your first playthrough, you're going to be looking around and tinkering with everything you see and perhaps looking for collectibles, but how quickly could you do it if you just ignore the little shiny trinkets on the side?
I don't know if you can do it much faster.
No,
because you get stuck into the walking paces. There are that game has 16 chapters. There's some of them that are like that are literally like 15-minute cutscenes.
Oh, great.
Like, you don't, there's no gameplay, just a cutscene.
I find it funny because this company's really only worked on like PlayStation PSP games or like HD remakes of games.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the like questions that come up about that game is that like graphically it's really stunning. Even though they like pull some shenanigans, frame rate's not great. They clearly cut the resolution by letterboxing the entire game. But like, it's good looking. And so the question comes up, like, how much of the budget went into asset creation? And like, is this going to be our trade-off for this generation? Is that the like graphic assets are so amazing that we get really mediocre games behind them because there isn't budget to build anything else? So like, that's kind of my worry, is do they have like, is it because it's a bad game? Is it a bad game because the people who made it just don't know what they're doing? Or is it a bad game because they didn't budget anything towards the actual game, like to the actual gameplay and like story creation, rather than to graphic assets? Because the graphic assets are fantastic. Who knows? Time will tell. The PS4 is like not looking like a great system to own. Like, I only play The Order because my friend owns a PS4, and it's like the only game that has come out.
Yep. Wii U.
I know, that's where it's at.
Oh yeah.
Well, the Xbox One has a couple of games at least. Like, I'm not even a Microsoft fanboy, and when they announced both systems, I was like, oh man, that Xbox, like, that doesn't look great. But
I'd like to remind Sony fans now, Sunset Overdrive was offered to Sony first. Just saying that.
I would also like to announce that that game has not sold well.
Sunset Overdrive?
No, not really.
Yeah, but it's still good.
The game is amazing. I'm surprised it hasn't sold well, because it
came
an
out
amazing Orchard. Game.
It came out in the Orchard pre-Christmas hype. Yeah. Which is suicide for new IPs these days.
I don't know. It came out to compete against a lot of people, but Microsoft put a lot of money behind it and marketed it well. I don't think I don't know if it sold that badly. The question is, like, who is interested in that game? Because the people that would be interested in that game are not, like, Call of Duty fans, and they're not, like, Assassin's Creed people. They're, like, more hardcore gamers, I would say. Like, people who play everything, and I just don't think that they were the people who, like, hadn't bought a console yet, is the thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
But that game was good.
Yes, it was.
I think that the review scores that it got definitely... I hope that they do more with that game, Like, I hope that it builds into, like, gets a sequel, because yeah. I think that mechanically what that game was doing was great, and that with more time and more, like, a sequel would mechanically build on that game in ways that could be interesting and, like, refine it down to be better, because there were some obvious mistakes, but as a first, like, go at it, that seemed like a great first game in a series.
And there's the DLC that just came out as well.
Yeah, I don't have the money for the DLC. I want to get it, though, eventually.
It adds a whole new location and a bunch of missions. It follows on from the ending.
Yeah, I watched Giant Bomb did a thing on the DLC that was, like, made me want to get it. So. But. Yes, Bethesda E3 review scores. So let's talk about Peter Molyneux, I guess, because that's really the only other thing that I can think of. So Peter Molyneux is going to did an interview with Rock Paper Shotgun. I don't know if you read it. I think I linked it to Joe a couple of weeks ago.
It was a difficult read,
but yeah, like. The way that that interview opens up, that is harsh. Are you a pathological liar? Like, damn. I know where this review is where this interview is going. But I don't know. Do you want to give me your thoughts on it? Because I have thoughts. People actually specifically ask me what they are. So I'll. But
Peter is a man who has fantastic ideas and visions for gaming in general. I feel that they don't often translate onto the games he creates, and often what he pitches forward doesn't ultimately appear. Black and White, for example, was a great concept, and his ambitions for the Fable series didn't really even reach what he was grasping at, but he definitely has a mind for gaming, but I think keep him away from the marketing in future's sake if you're with him in the company.
Oh no, that's the part that he's actually good at. Is the marketing part. He can sell you on anything.
Either like maybe just tone him down a notch, like leash him like EA did when they had Suda working on the Shadows of the Damned. Just leash him, just drag him back a bit. Like calm it down a little.
Well, you have to remember that Peter Molyneux was leashed when he was doing stuff at Lion's Head.
Really? Oh wow.
Yeah,
God.
Microsoft.
What did Microsoft Fable. Think? Just leashing them. It's similar to the leash effect in Black and White when you control your animal with either the good collar or the bad collar, but
exactly.
Seems Microsoft left the flame collar on him and just let him unleashed on the villagers. Oh, that was a good game.
So like one of the things about that interview is that I don't think it's totally unfounded. I know a lot of people think that it was really harsh, like harsher than it needed to be. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Like, one of the issues is that in this case, like, Peter Molyneux has been wasting millions of people, like, has been wasting millions of dollars, like, of other people's money for years, for decades. Like, he's Black and White, Fable, God, what was that EA game? Dungeon, like, to a degree, Dungeon Keeper, like, I like Dungeon, ah, God, no. When he was at Bullfrog, what was it that Bullfrog ended?
I think it may have been Dungeon Keeper. But Bullfrog also did for Theme Park World. That's what I remember them for most.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what they made. They did Dungeon Keeper, but it was a. Yeah, it would have been part. It would have been later Dungeon Keeper games. That's what it was. So, like, Peter Molyneux got really popular because of Populous and Syndicate. I think everyone knows those two games. And, like, then he did the theme series. And the theme series was pretty good. Like, Theme Park and Theme Hospital.
I love those games.
But in the case of, like, Theme Park, it was never as good as Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I agree with you on that. I feel Theme Park was more of, I guess you could say more of a kid-friendly alternative.
Well, it was less realistic. It was more key. But, Yeah, like the later Dungeon Keeper games had issues. Dungeon Keeper 2, like, good game, but didn't quite deliver. And then anything he did at Lion's Head, like, you have to remember that when Black and White came out, people were actually mad.
And it's because
Black and White, like, it wasn't... It didn't deliver on the things that he said it was doing, which is, like, pretty upsetting. At least to some people, like, Black and White isn't a bad game. It's pretty good. But it didn't deliver on his, like, pre-release promises. It was not the game that he said he was releasing. Which, if I were backing that studio for Black and White, I'd be kind of pissed off. Especially since there were so many delays. I mean, they always do huge pre-release changes on any of their games, Black and White and Fable, and then also delay the shit out of them by, like, months and months and months, which is not necessarily, like, appropriate. And you have to remember how many games they had that were canceled. They canceled Black and White for Xbox and PlayStation 2, as well as Black and White for PlayStation and Dreamcast. They canceled Black and White 3. They canceled Unity for the GameCube. They canceled BC for Xbox. They canceled Fable 2 for the PC, which ended up eventually coming out. But, like, they had, like, a lot of canceled stuff by the time that Lionhead actually went under. But he wasted enough money from publishers that he had to go to Kickstarter for Goddess. There was no way that anyone was going to give Peter Molyneux any more money because he doesn't deliver on what he says he's going to make. And so he went to Kickstarter. He got a bunch of money from the public because people know that he doesn't deliver on his games. I don't think that anyone could say this. Like, it's pretty well known that he hasn't delivered on a game in a decade. But people backed his game anyways, and now here we are, like, 2 years later, and the mess that is Goddess is pretty, like, fucked up. I don't think that the, like, I guess hatred towards him is unfounded in that he hasn't delivered. The game is 2 years late. It's going to be 2 years late, at least. It was supposed to come out last year, wasn't it?
I have no clue. I have difficulty following all these Kickstarter games.
I think Goddess was supposed to come out last year. And then there was... Why can't I remember his name? The guy who won Curiosity, you know, the game with the cube.
Yes, when
you
tap it. He didn't get his lovely prize until a recent interview with Eurogamer.
He still hasn't gotten it. So the thing is that they can't give him his thing until they implement the online, the multiplayer for Goddess. However, because of issues with their middleware, that, like, I totally understand. They chose a piece of middleware, and the middleware, like, dropped a feature. And that feature was going to be their online system. Like, they needed it. They needed that feature in order to implement their online. And it's gone now. So they can't implement the online, at least in the way that they were going to before. Like, it's a lot fucking harder. Like, they're going to have to create their own proprietary system, probably, which is going to cost a huge amount of money. But they still haven't given this guy, like, anything. He was supposed to take a cut of the sales of Goddess, and he hasn't gotten anything. In fact, Goddess doesn't even look like it's ever going to get the online. The lead, Conrad, the lead designer for that game now, said that he doesn't know, like, he's a project lead on that now, that Peter Molyneux is doing the trial, I think, is what they're doing. Let me look at what it's called. Because they have another game. It's not Goddess. I can't find it. The Trail. Is that it?
Oh, well, ultimately,
Peter's... Oh, The Trial is the name of the game that he's doing. But the guy hasn't gotten any money, and most of the team that was working on Goddess has moved on to a new game, which Peter is now working on instead of working on Goddess. Like, the Goddess team isn't any of the original company at this point. In fact, they hired a guy from the community called Conrad to finish that game, and at least he sounds like he has a coherent vision for that game, but it's hugely different than what Peter pitched. Like, there might not be online because they might not be able to get it done, and they're doing a scripted pre-built out story, and then right now I think they're focusing on the combat because the story's about to be done as this interview was kind of going on. But I don't think that is unfounded that people are really pissed at Peter Molyneux, because I mean, I would be too. He fucked up. He's fucked up a lot. And at this point, I don't know if he could ever fund another game. It would be hard for him to go. He can't go to publishers because of the fiasco that was Fable and was Black and White. And he can't go back to Kickstarter because of Goddess. So how does he fund a game in, next year?
Pyramid scheme.
Pyramid scheme.
You know what he should do? He should be an inspirational speaker, because he can sell you on anything, but you won't achieve it.
Oh, he totally can, but he has no ability to, make the games that he wants to make. I don't think he's I'm sure that he's a fine programmer, but I don't know if he has the software engineering background to actually get it done. If only he had infinite money.
You can't do that. He passed out of Fable. I do remember when Fable 3 was being hyped up, and he was like, as soon as you come king, there is so much you can do to your kingdom. And it was like 5 cutscenes and it was over.
Yeah, what is that garbage? That was awful. But, I think he's really... he said it in the interview that, people are running him out of the industry. And I don't think he's being ran out of the industry. I think he ran himself out of the industry. I think he promised too much. He doesn't have an ability. He can't think about scope. He doesn't the game that he pitched. I didn't realize it at the time because I never bothered to read the Kickstarter because I wasn't going to back it, but he didn't take on a publisher. He refused to take on a publisher for Goddess, and he only asked for £100,000, which is nothing. At most $200,000.
That is nothing for a video game.
Yeah, not for a game where he needed several million. So it's crazy that he only asked for that amount. And his, response in the interview was that he didn't think he was going to need more, whereas, anyone could have told him he needed more. I don't know what it would cost to make that game, but I guarantee it's not £100,000, And I haven't even worked on games of that size, but it's not £100,000. By the time that you pay licensing fees, you're at that. So it's just crazy that somehow he picked that number. I don't think that he ran with the money. There's people who say that he ran with the money, and it's no one fucking asked for £100,000 and is I'm gonna retire on this. There's not enough money. But I don't think that he has malice, in his intentions, but I think that he can't make games. He's an idea man, who are maybe the worst kind of people to work with, actually. I don't know if any of you have worked with idea people, but they're pretty garbage.
Oh, I have.
Because they're this is my idea. And it's great, can you help make it happen? No. It's okay, well, then you're useless. Get out of here. We don't need your ideas. Everyone has ideas. And Peter is somehow a man who is an idea guy who got to the position where he actually gets to tell people to try to make his ideas, but he doesn't have any ability to focus in and bring it together.
You know who would be an ideal partner, business partner for him?
Who?
Jaden Smith. Have you seen his Twitter feed?
Yes.
Him and Peter just working together on that.
They would never get anything done.
But it would be brilliant reading their tweets and interviews. How can our games be real without eyes on real?
Well, games aren't real is the first thing, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, the Peter Molyneux thing, I don't know. I don't think it's unfounded, but I do think that maybe that interview was, like, mean. But there's other people who can totally take that. Did you see that? God, was it Eurogamer? Someone interviewed Ski, the president of Ski, Sony Computer Electronic Entertainment, Europe. Or no, not Electronic Entertainment. Sony Computer Entertainment Europe. They did Drive Club. Or I think they did Drive Club.
Still not put the PlayStation Plus edition out.
Yeah, that's part of this interview. So they were asked about basically poor first party performance on PlayStation 4 this year. Or I guess last year. The guy who was interviewed, do you remember the Gamescom like close up incident 2 years ago or something?
There's been so many incidents in gaming lately. They all seem to mesh in my mind. No,
yeah, it's not like an incident. It was like a bad press conference where there's just like this extreme close up on like a Sony executive while he's trying to like do his like speech, I guess. And the close up was like uncomfortable because of how close it was. It was like kind of gross. But they interviewed him.
Into his paws.
Yeah, basically. And they interviewed him. And they asked him about Drive Club, like, why was Drive Club broken? Like, how is that appropriate? Where is PlayStation Plus version? At which point the answer that they got was like, we're looking into whether or not we're going to do it. Like, they can't even say that they're still going to do a PlayStation Plus version of Drive Club, because they just don't know if it's going to be worth it. But like, they kind of have to at this point. Like, they should be obligated to, because when they announced the PlayStation 4, like, they sold PlayStation Plus on the back of Drive Club, right? Like, this is one of the things that you get when you get PlayStation Plus. And, like, this is why you should have PlayStation Plus. Is this, like, you get a game and you get, like, access to all these great online services. But there's people who got PlayStation Plus like based on that promise, and so you can't not give it at this point. Like, they have to do it. The game isn't good. Well, they said they were going to.
I mean, they don't have to. They'll just get sued for it for false advertising. Very
well,
easily.
They probably won't get sued for it.
No, but
it's
they'll
pretty
have
hard
to
get a case like that.
They'll just have to give some kind of redemption, like they did with the PS Vita false advertising.
Oh, did they actually give something back for that?
I think
basically, if you got a PS Vita before a certain period of time, you could get, I think, like 20% of the cost back on your receipt.
Oh, nice.
It was something like that, or it was a certain amount of money. I forget what it was. But yeah, there's false advertising with the PS Vita, and basically anyone who purchased it before a certain date was eligible to get a refund or something like that. I forget what they were actually allowed to get. But
well, like in the case of Drive Club, they should just release something, because Drive Club is bad. Like, they should just cobble something, like some kind of version together and release it, because it doesn't matter. Drive Club is a bad game. Like, I don't think that people are probably that interested in Drive Club at this point, but it's not fun. Like, it's a shitty game. But you should look up that that Sony executive interview, because it's also like kind of a perfect example why people don't ask like these hard cutting questions to like games industry people or to PR people, because that is a Sony executive like sidestepping like a motherfucker. So like, he doesn't answer any of the questions. Like, you just don't get answers when you ask hard questions in this industry. So
yeah, video games.
All right, then. I guess let's wrap up then. I think Terry's computer is about to die.
So. Apparently, yeah.
Terry's gonna die.
No. Terry is going to die. The battery on his pacemaker is up.
Podcast, apparently.
Yeah. Oh man, that's what I should have called you. Terry hasn't seen the sun in 9 years.
Technically. Hey, I might be pale, but I'm not that bad.
Oh no, it's not because you're pale. It's because you're from England.
Yeah, that is true.
There's just no sun.
It's always raining.
Thankfully, no snow.
Thankfully, no snow. I don't get snow where I live either, but I also don't get sunlight. I think that's why English colonized right where I live.
I get way too much. We lost Harry. He died.
We lost Harry. He's dead.
He died. He's dead.
All right, then.
Rest in peace, Terry.
Goodbye, so Terry. Hasn't seen the sun in 9 years. Tentacle touchy.
That's what this episode will be called. Rest in peace, Terry.
Rest in peace, Terry. All right, then. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching / listening to the podcast. Oh, man. All kinds of... that didn't break too badly, actually, when Terry's window went away. I was like, whatever. Oh man, Joe's face just got cut in half. But as long as he stays over to the one side of the camera, it's not too bad.
This side?
Yeah, well, you're pretty good. You were still pretty okay. But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching / listening to the podcast. And hopefully we'll be back probably in like 2 weeks. I think we're going to make this like a bi-weekly podcast at this point. We do better when we only do it every 2 weeks.
We can do weekly if we're not lazy.
Yeah, we do better when we do every 2 weeks. There's more to talk about.
True.
We got like a slight, like an extra 20 minutes, but like the whole hour 20 is good rather than like the weeks where we struggle for 50 minutes to talk about anything.
True.
Yeah, there was a fair number of those in the summer.
Yeah.
All right, then. Thank you, and good night.
Bye.